Suna Baba, protectors of the Suna. Duna Baba, protector of the Suna.
In alhamdulillah, wassalam, wassalamala, wa rasulullah, welcome to another session of our hadith class. And we are studying the hadith Qudsi from the book entitled The Divine Hadith Qudsi, which is compiled by Sheikh Muhammad Saeed Atlee. And mashallah, when you guys are ordering the other books for this website, make sure you order this one too, because all the books I'm teaching are from him, except for the one called Get to Know Your Lord. That's Kareem Abu Zaid's, and you have to go to Amazon for that. And we will be back to that book after Ramadan. So you better keep all that stuff in your mind. We'll be back to it. We'll be back. Okay. But for now, we're doing the Qudsi here. And today we should be on Hadith number 70, if I'm correct. Let me make sure. 70. It is? Okay, good. Hadith number 70, and let's look at this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah drew the ends of the world near one another for his sake. Let me stop right there. Remember we talked yesterday about how Allah is the only one who has knowledge of the unseen. But right before the Prophet Muhammad died, he shared different knowledge. Remember the hadith we went over yesterday, the Prophet was so concerned about his nation. What would happen to the Muslims after he died? You know, what would happen to Islam and with Islam and all of that? Well, Allah shared knowledge of the future with the prophets. And this is one hadith that's speaking about it too. He said, Allah drew the ends of the world near one another for me. And I have seen its eastern and western ends. And the dominion of my nation will reach those ends which have been drawn near me. And I have been granted the red and the white treasures. And I begged my Lord for my nation that it should not be destroyed because of famine, nor dominated by its enemy outside of themselves. And my Lord said, O Muhammad, whenever I make a decision, there is nothing or no one that can change it. I grant you for your nation that it will never be destroyed by a famine. Y'all hear that? And your people will never be destroyed by any enemy. Instead, they will be destroyed by themselves. They will oppress each other. They will dominate each other. They will kill one another. And they will capture one another. This is one of my favorite hadiths, and there's different versions of it. This all happened when that time when Allah had Jibril go speak to the prophet, because he was crying because he was so worried about what was, he knew he was going to die, but he was more concerned with us, the Muslims that come in the later lives. So this is when Allah shared this knowledge. And this is when, you know, he said, your people will make you proud. You will not be disappointed with your nation. And this is when the prophet asked him, oh Allah, please don't destroy my people, because he saw what would happen. He saw how Islam would rise in the East, how Islam would spread from out of Arabia to all the other parts of the world as it's done. He also saw how Islam will fail in the East, but it will then rise up in the West like it's doing. And he saw the treasures, the white, the red. What is that? The oil. The oil. The wealth, the oil that this nation, his nation, would be given. And the red, the diamonds, the minerals. Look at Africa. Africa. Most of the countries in Africa are Muslim countries. And what minerals do they have? That's where your minerals come from, your diamonds, your rubies, and all that come from. And then the Middle East and the Gulf, that's your oil. So Allah allowed the prophet to see the treasures, the wealth that his nation will accumulate. But Allah also allowed the prophet to see how we will end up allowing that wealth to take us away from Islam. We will end up oppressing each other, like you see happening in all those Middle Eastern and Gulf countries and also those African countries. Look at the Muslim rulers, the Muslim leaders today, and all these Muslim countries. They're oppressive against each other. They're killing their own. So Allah said, your people will never be destroyed. We ain't got to worry about Israel. That's why I keep telling Muslims all this gung-ho over Zionism and the Jews and Hebrew, Israel, that they're not going to destroy you. America's not going to destroy you either. Our destruction will come from us, ourselves, like we see today. In fact, it'll be those Western countries of America and Europe that will unite and help us defeat the Antichrist, subhanahu Allah, where most of the Muslims will be on the side with the Antichrist. This was sad. So this is what the prophet is speaking about, how he was allowed to see what would happen to this nation. And it's something that we need to think about, because we are the people. We are the people of his nation that Allah allowed him to see. So he saw what we are doing today, what we would do today. Okay. All right, go ahead, Sister Sahara. What would you like to say about this hadith? Go ahead.
SubhanAllah, you know, that's kind of scary to think that, you know, that your own people are going to be the ones that are oppressing you, because you see that now, like in most Muslim countries, they're being oppressed by their own people. And also Muslim countries really don't help other Muslim countries out. They're quick to, you know, partner with the kafirs and let their people like aside. Like, you don't really see any Arab Muslim nation or even African and Asian Muslim nations come together, even European Muslim nations come together and be like, hey, like, you know, we need to band together and support each other. No, they're quick to, you know, be with the West and, you know, support the West as best they can. But they see their Muslim people suffering and they don't really care. And it's just honestly just really sad and disheartening. And, you know, subhanAllah, this study just like really hit close to home, because like I see it everywhere. And when I talk to like my other Muslim like friends and like classmates that are from Muslim countries, they're like, yeah, like our leaders are just so corrupt. And I'm like, well, I was like, our leaders could band together. And they're like, they will never do that because they're so corrupt and they don't care. And right. Even if you're Muslim, they don't care. They right. Really don't. So, and there's nothing you could do because, you know, because of that one hadith. But so I'm like, well, there's nothing I could do besides pray. But it's just honestly just really scary.
It is, you know. And so this is, you know, this is the sad reality. That's why as a daya, I look at how emotional some of these other daya become whenever something happens over there in Israel, you know, with Gaza and Palestine and all that. They flip out act crazy like it's the end of the world and put up pictures of dead children. So I'm like, dude, I mean, why are y'all doing this? If this ain't nothing new, this stuff's been going on forever and it's going to continue and get worse. Allah said this stuff would happen. And then when they showed like Syria, you know, oppressing each other, killing each other, yeah, that happened. You know, Iraq, Kuwait, all that happened. This is what the prophet said we would do. We're going to fight against each other, enslave each other, kill each other, oppress each other, but jump to attention when the kafir come. This is it. This is the fate of our nation. But the question is, which side are you on? What role are you playing in all this fitna? Are you part of the problem or are you trying to be a solution to it? You know, that's the question. You know, so it's another one of the hadiths that show that Allah gives knowledge of the future only to whom he chooses to. And then he only gives them a glimpse of it. And he gave a glimpse of it to the prophet Muhammad, like he did the prophets that came before him. But even still, we will outnumber those others. Even though our nation is messed up, you know, we still will outnumber the others. We'll make him proud. We still will outnumber the followers of Moses and all the others. Yes, go ahead, Sabrine.
I can understand that. It really is scary. And I'm looking at it everywhere. I know it's going on in the Middle East, but it's going on over here too. You know, every once in a while, if I go to a masjid or even around Muslims and these in the neighborhoods and whatever, and the things that they're saying, it's like they're not even seeing, they're not even hearing what's really going on. And that is scary. And they're around you, or they're getting further and further away from you. You know, they don't want to be around you. You know, especially I received a text the other morning from someone from a Muslim. I don't see that often. And it said, you know, just had a list to her. She was being helpful and had a list of things to do during Ramadan and this and that. And I was shocked when I looked down at it. One of the things that said fatwas. And I remember that's one of the things that you're teaching us about, too.
What did it say about fatwas?
It was saying to listen to him, you know, and you know, during your time, your spare time or whatever. And I texted her back and I said, you know, what I'm going to do is concentrate on my salats, the Quran, authentic hadiths, and just kept it simple, just like that. And I didn't expect to hear anything else from her, but she actually called me back right then and there, and she was angry. And this is someone that I had known for a long time to really be dedicated, I thought, always to the Sunnah.
Yeah, well, every Muslim on earth says that they're dedicated to the Sunnah. But like I said, the reality is, like the prophet said, there's only a handful. Most people are denizens of the hellfire. They don't know what the Sunnah is. Just like that brother that came in here, he didn't know what the Sunnah was, what a hadith was. He thought the world is about a fatwa too. They think it's all fatwa. Hadith or nothing. What is that? It's just a statement. Yeah, so, but this is it. You know, most of the people, the Muslims are like that. And it's going to get worse. Yeah. That's why you got to be careful, guys. Just for those of us who do know the truth, the struggle is for you to realize that you're going to be a stranger. That's that other hadith about the stranger. You know, you're going to even feel like a stranger around your own people. When you go around your own Muslims, you know, you're going to be looked upon as a stranger because you're not indulging in all that innovation that they're indulging in. You know, you're not reading fatwas like they're doing. You know, you're practicing traditional. As the prophet said, you're sticking to the traditional Islam as he told us to do. Whereas they call themselves modern Muslims now. They call themselves modern progressive Muslims. Progressing, there's nothing wrong with being with progression. But when you add modern progression, wait a minute, no, traditional progression. You know, whenever we deviate away from the traditional Islam to this modern Islam, that's when we have the problems like we have. Yeah, any other comments?
Yeah, that was a good thing that you said, because this is already a done data. It's been said it's going to be. But what do I do for myself? What do I know for myself that's going to help me? Because I can't do nothing about these people. It's already been written for them anyway. But what's really been written for me? You know, what am I going to do?
What role you play in it? Yeah, that's the thing we all need to see. Where our, I know what my role is. I'm my mouth. I'm always going to have mouth and speak out. And that's a good thing, because long as I'm speaking out, Allah will keep that wrath away from here. Like they said, Layla, it's been a beautiful winter. I'm hearing that from people all the time. Layla, Cleveland ain't never had a winter this nice. Layla's here, that's why. And where I used to live, oh my God, they got storms and hurricanes, tornadoes and everything else. You know, so ask yourself, where do you, what role are you playing in all this fitna? You know, are you part of the problem? Or are you part of the solution? Or are you one of them that's just, you know, what did Ibn Mas'ud say? The walking dead, you know? All you concerned with is myself, myself, myself.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Layla.
Wa alaikum salam, Rosemary.
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Sister Layla, I have a question. Well, it's even a question. Oh yeah, it is a question. Okay. How come there are some like I'm gonna say Muslims because it's our Muslims. How can they be like for some reason like misguided in like and not know in like in the Sufism leadership and like
About this before. You always ask that same question. What did I tell you? Is the answer is going to always be the same? Because that's how they are. They just, Allah has a blinder over them. They're misguided because that's what they comfortable with. They're comfortable being misguided. And nothing you can do for them. All you do is stay away from them. Allah's the one that Allah says, I am the one who guides to the truth. If I have not guided to the personal truth, nothing you can do except stay away from them. For you end but up Sister guided Le- with
them. Sister Layla, is someone really, really like, you know, like.
Yeah, you always asking it. Oh, so you're somebody. Who is this person? Because you always, and it better not be no man.
No, it's the grandmother of my children. And she used to come to your class very faithfully.
What and was her so name? Her,
Khalila. You remember that name, Khalila?
Not Khalila. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was years ago she was on there. And then she went off and now she's under this leadership that all of them are. The main sheikh is a leader of the Sufi.
Yeah, well, you know, I used to have a lot of people. Like I said, my website's been around since 1986. Most of them Muslims left me and joined with the Mu'tazila. America has the Mu'tazila here because, you know, and most, I tell you, most of these Muslims here, these imams and famous speakers are part of the Mu'tazila. And they all left my website 20 some years ago and they went to the Mu'tazila. I'm not surprised. So just stay away from her. She's your kid's grandmother, but that's all she is their grandmother. You just, you know, stay away from her. Don't deal with her unless you have to. That's all.
But you know what? It's becoming a little, it's not difficult because I hold my ground when it comes to my children, alhamdulillah, as far as like what I want them to make sure they're not being misled, not even by any family members, period. So it's like sometimes she be trying to get my daughter like to go with her to this. They be having this thicker Juma, you know, they be using the thickers and all this kind of stuff. And I avoid that for my kids.
You have your kids participate in none of that. That way, the way they worship, that's what the Sufis are big on. This I covered that in that class I did on Sufism. Don't have your kids taking part in none of that crap.
Yeah. I did tell my kids, I'm like, you know, that we're not, because we, at one point, before I learned from what you told me, Sister Layla, before I learned from you, I was going to these things because I thought, you know, that it was right. But when I learned and I saw it, it's like, oh my gosh, I immediately got away from it. And I don't no longer attend any of those sections, nor the classes. I was going to classes on Sundays as well, you know, and I even avoid all of that because after I found out that they were under the leadership, Sufism leadership, I'm like, no. I'm like, I can't involve myself in this.
They are the biggest innovators. They talk to the dead, pray to the dead, call upon the dead, all that crazy stuff. Yeah, just stay away from it and keep your kids away from that. And these people, you know, are just, you know, deluded. So don't even waste your time with them. I remember back in the day when I was on my website, we had the showdown, you know, the Sufi man versus Sheikh Atli. Sheikh Atli checked him. Then they had another Sufi leader try to go toe to toe with Sheikh Morsi, you know, and that's when a lot of my people had, you know, left and went with the Sufis anyway, because they came from Sufi backgrounds. So, you know, she probably was one of them. And then she probably didn't participate in class much, which is why I don't remember her name, because I have a photographic memory. She probably was just logging in. I had lots of people logging in back then and they never talked. So I didn't get a relationship with them, but she was probably part of the Sufis all along anyway, you know?
Yeah, because it's all of that, you know, and then even the birthdays is even acknowledged. I'm like, oh, no. Yeah. I'm like, you guys, bye.
That's probably why she left my website, because when I got Sheikh Atli up in here, Sheikh Atli was definitely opposed to Sufism. So that's probably when she left, because Sheikh Atli came in here and ran out a lot of Sufis. I had a lot of people in here that were Sufi back then. Sheikh Atli put a slam down on all of them. So she probably left back then.
Yeah. And you know what? Remember when you say, like, as soon as a man come, they'll leave? Like, you know, even if a sister is actually speaking the truth, they'll rather get it from a man. And it's like, oh my God, I saw that too. And then that also tribalism as far as color. Oh, they're my people. So because they're my kind of people, then I'd rather listen to them. They're more reputable for me to listen to them. Right. So I'm like, wow. I'm like, no, you guys are totally messed up, man.
Yeah, that's just the Sufis are messed up. And there are more Muslims in the world that belong to that group than any other group, because that group is the closest to Christianity. They do the same things that the Christians do. Yeah, just stay away from them, you know. Yeah, she must have been coming here back then when Sheikh Atli came in here. He slammed down. He had a big debate with one of them Sufi men. A lot of them left out of here.
And you know what they call? They call, like, they say, oh, that what we're learning is that you got to be careful because it's extreme. I'm like, no, it's the truth. You just don't want to accept it. But okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll call me a fanatic, you know, but that's like, you know, this is one of the signs of the last hour. The prophet said the truth will appear to be falsehood and the false crap will appear to be truth. You know, the truth is harsh, but the lies that they teaching y'all is nice. So, you know, we're living in those days, you know, and that's why the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there'll always be a handful of believers. It may just be a handful of us, but we still here. And who are they? They're the ones that's keeping the traditional Islam alive. You know, there's a handful of us here that's still keeping traditional Islam alive. A lot of my sisters here at this website married men from Africa. They met those dudes on the internet from Africa and they left my website because Sufism is very, very dominant in Africa. Y'all know that. Most of my students here are from those Qadariya Sufi backgrounds. And those men don't want their wives listening to me. Oh, no. You got to leave that website. So I lost a lot of women back then, too, because they married these crazy men from Africa and other countries who were Sufis, who took them away from me. Oh, she's harsh. She's teaching you extremism. No, I'm teaching you true Islam. He's the one that's teaching you lies. He's a Sufi. The women didn't listen. They end up leaving me and going to the Sufis. They only come around when their husband ain't around. Their husband knew they was listening to me. Their husband would have a fit. Yeah, Sufis. There's more Sufis than any other group. I think they're the largest group.
Hey, Sister Layla. Sister Layla. And the thing is that one of the imams that actually, because at that time I didn't know, and I asked them, you know, to be my wali, right? And it's like, now I'm like, okay, I can't, because if because you'll be trying to connect me with a Sufi. And I'm like, no, I can't even have you as my wali now. I gotta find a wali now for myself.
Yeah.
You know? because I can't even, and I just got away from all of that. And he even told me himself, don't listen to nobody else. Just listen to me.
Yeah, no. That's how the Sufis are. Like we taught in that class, what did that book that Sheikh Atli wrote say? They want you to only listen to them. You have to obey them. You can't learn from nobody but them. That's how the Sufis are. You cannot learn from anyone but them, you know? So, yeah.
That makes so much sense because I've experienced. Yeah.
Yeah, those Sufis are crazy. All these innovative groups are crazy. All of them.
Well, alhamdulillah, Sister Layla, I think Allah, alhamdulillah first. And then I thank you, you know, because you're giving me so much clarity, alhamdulillah, to really, you know, have an eye opener, to really see what's around me and to make sure that I don't fall into the wrong, right, you know, set.
Or you know, those
so,
children.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. And my children, alhamdulillah, I feel so grateful because they so humble and respectful.
Yes.
And they listen and they do. They I don't even have to tell them to get up for salat. They just do it themselves. And they don't even.
Because they're here listening. They're always here learning too, alhamdulillah. That's the good thing. They're always here learning. They're listening. They're learning. They want to be good people because you instilled that in them, alhamdulillah. And like I said, just be patient like you're doing because you're surrounded with that crazy stuff and keep making dua for Allah to keep you upon Sirat al-Mustaqim and your kids. And then Allah will send you whatever you deserve when it's time for you to get it.